freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock here has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. Hope you're having a good day. Hope you're ready for a Friday. Crazy weekend ahead. Jay Keeps is in. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
No Brock today. No Kyle today. No Lydia today. No Taylor today.
Where is everybody?
The entire office is out.
But don't worry. Boy Howdy's here for you.
No.
I got my fingers on every aspect of this show.
Oh, no.
Bear with us, everyone, please.
Howdy's running the board, which he hasn't done in
two and a half years.
Yeah. Oh, no. So anything that goes wrong today, we'll blame Howdy, and it'll actually be his fault, which is a great way for the day to go. All right. Well, hope everybody's prepared for this wild ride, not just these next 3 hours. Jake in. We'll have some open phone lines a little bit later, so we'll count on you guys. Kind of help get us through a bye week Friday.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, if you ever want something to kind of, you know, take the place of a Seahawks weekend, what's going on in Pullman is about as close as it gets right now.
Nope.
I mean, 100,000 people expected to show up. Danny, Dave, and Moore going to be there today to do their show from the RV lot.
Yeah.
From lot one in the RV lot area. So that should be a blast.
Wait, is it from Kyle's RV or?
It's not from Kyle's RV.
Okay.
Kyle's RV is in a different lot. As you heard yesterday, Drew Bledsoe and Robbie Tobeck and Mike Leach all desperate to get into that RV.
I'm not a kook, but I was getting jealous.
Really?
Yes.
You wanted in.
I'm like, Kyle, like. Can I get a bunk?
Love.
I want to be there.
Don't you kind of want to be there?
Yeah.
Why aren't you there? You could go there. What else are you doing?
Nothing really.
Why don't you go?
I mean, I don't know.
Don't you have friends out there with anything?
Yeah. I got friends out there. I don't, you know, I'll call Brooke and tell her, hey, I'm going to the Palouse.
Oh. Anyway, ready to come over there and hang out with my little buddy.
Thanks, Coach Leach. Yeah. I mean, it seems it's the place to be. And I will admit, I am somewhat irrationally excited about game day in Pullman because in theory, it shouldn't be that big a deal to anyone, let alone me. I mean, like, I'm not a Coug. I'm not specifically a Coug fan.
Have you felt yourself getting caught up in the Cougar excitement? Their excitement for this.
I get caught up in the whole Coug thing. I think the whole idea of Cougardom is awesome.
Yeah.
It is a fantastic fan base. It is unique.
Mm-hmm.
I love that it is sort of wrapped up in inferiority and fear of losing, but also in this incredible bond that comes from being out in the middle of nowhere. I was listening to Jim Moore yesterday, who sums things up about as well as anybody.
Yeah.
And I thought this was awesome, hearing him describe what it's like even at his age. It was 61? At his age, driving back into Pullman even now.
I know it's crazy, but it's like you start, you know, getting tears in your eyes a little bit. It's weird. I can't explain it because I know a lot of people that don't know the whole thing about Washington State and Pullman. You know, you look at Pullman, you go, Pullman doesn't seem like much of a town. But it's our town, you know, and it's our place. And we have, and all of us that went to school there, whether you went there in the 70s like I did or the 80s, 90s, whatever, and the current students now, we all shared the same experiences. You know, we had 4 years, still the best. I'm 61 years old. And still the best 4 years of my life were spent in Pullman, Washington. It was just fantastic. And I'm looking forward to driving down into Pullman tomorrow and getting the goosebumps on my arms like I always do. And it's silly, but that's how I feel about it.
I swear that's not why I played that clip. It's not because Jim called himself 81.
How do you miss by 20 years of your own age?
These things happen.
That wrecks the sentimentality of that really, really nice soliloquy he just delivered.
And the thing is, I didn't even catch that yesterday when I heard it. I only caught the whole, because I didn't hear him say 81. I heard him just sort of stumble. I didn't realize he almost called himself 81 years old.
Jim was a little bit of a mess yesterday.
Yeah, well, that's
true. We'll get
to that. Just so much excitement, he forgot how old he was.
That's right. I think what I like the idea of a small place making a college game day into a really big deal, and I like the fact that this may be one of the biggest, if not the biggest crowd they've ever had for game day.
Yeah, there's two things that come to mind. I have lots of friends that have obviously gone to WSU, guys that have been a part of the football program there, and the community that you feel, that bond that you feel being a Coug and everything that represents, it's special.
Yeah.
And you can feel that bond, and that's you know, everybody's sentimental to the schools that they've gone to and have pride in that. But I don't know, man. There's something different about that place. Well, and then when you look at College Game Day and the bus and Herb Street, you know, talking about, well, it'll be interesting to see what it's going to be like when that bus shows up. Man.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts.
It was insanity. Well, have you seen the video of that?
I have.
It was out of control.
And you know that tomorrow morning is going to be just as crazy, if not crazier, as everybody, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I heard from Kyle last night. I was texting with him at around 8 o'clock. He's like, it's insanity right now. There's 100 RVs trying to park at once in one lot. He's like, it's complete madness.
So, it's clear. I'm a Coug.
Thank you.
Go Cougs.
Thank you, Brock. We appreciate that. Here's the thing about Northwest sports fans and why this weekend is so interesting, I think, out in Pullman. Northwest sports fans are not the best fans in the country. And that's the beginning of this statement, but not the end. They're not passionate like SEC fans about college football. Don't pretend that you are. You know you're not. They don't bang out every single stadium every single week across the Pac-12.
You don't poison trees when things don't go your way.
That's right. You don't call sports radio.
Scam and, Newton.
And ask to, you know, call for the murder of various players on the other team for perceived slights and offenses. I mean, like, you're just not at that same level of insanity for college football as the SEC. You're not angry and flipping people off the way they are in Philadelphia after the Eagles don't win. You're not passionate about baseball the way they are in the Northeast, where it's a lifestyle, where the hatred of the Red Sox and Yankees from each other's fans probably dictates more than even the love of their own team. It's just different.
Yeah.
But what they are here, and I think honestly, and I mean this after almost 10 years of being here, I would think this is really the first time this has truly come to me. Northwest sports fans are fans of big events. And I don't think anybody gets more excited for the event than a Northwest Seattle sports fan.
Yeah.
It's not the nonstop passion, at least in person. There's a lot of message boards. There's a lot of kind of following what's going on from the computer. We've had some great bloggers come out of the Northwest. There's some ways in which we excel,
right,
I think, as sports fans here. But my impression is there's a big chip on your shoulder. And when you have an opportunity to show the world, hey, we show up for a big event, there is no one better than the Northwest sports fan. You're going to see that tomorrow in Pullman.
You know, when you were bringing this up initially, I was like, oh, Saul, you're going to get some people being, you know, not too happy with you.
Maybe.
But you think about it, and it's true. I look at it, and I go, okay, do these fan bases actively follow it? Yeah, they do. But not with the same passion and veracity as the SEC and even some of these Big 12 and ACC programs,
right.
And it just is, it's a completely different ball game. I give you one example. During my personal recruitment, when I was considering Tennessee, they made my top three when Lane Kiffin and Ed Orgeron were on the staff at the time, and I fly out there, and this was January, February that year, so basketball was going on. There wasn't a whole lot going on at the time, and I took an unofficial visit.
Was what's his name coaching the basketball team there? The sweaty dude, Bruce Pearl.
Yeah, Bruce nice. Pearl. Got to meet Bruce Pearl. I mean, it was actually kind of fun. But they take me to a Lady Vols basketball game.
Okay,
and that place was packed. It actually was really fun watching a Lady Vols game. But as I'm walking through and I'm going down to the recruiting section, I can hear people left and right as I'm walking down the halls or walking down the aisle. Oh, that's Jake Heaps. That's the quarterback that came in for our visit. Hey, Jake, come to Tennessee. You know,
it
was insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they all knew who I was in that building.
You think maybe they planted all those people there to make it seem
possibly
that way? Like, I wouldn't put that past the SEC.
As that was saying, especially I was floating on cloud nine.
What are you saying, guys? Great to be on the show.
Thanks, Ed.
I wouldn't put it past Ed Orgeron. That guy is a recruiting genius.
Why is he so great a recruiter?
Hey, Brock, sack fumble.
I mean, do you hear that voice?
You just
want to go play for that guy. And the best part is when he gets super excited, it becomes harder and harder for him to understand. You can't understand this guy. and you just get caught up in the excitement and the juice that this dude has.
Big shout out to Coach Carroll, man. Love him. He's a great inspiration in all our lives. Everybody that ever coached with him. He was an inspiration and a leader for us, and we appreciate it.
Well, I think this weekend is going to be a blast. I wish I was going to be out there. I'm excited for all of the Cougs who are. I'm sure you're going to enjoy it because it's a big event. It really is.
And, big time.
And they turned it. I think what's so cool is they just turned this into a big event. It doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't.
The College Game Day coming to Pullman didn't have to be the big event that it is. But this is, what's his name, Chris Falica, who's a part of that Game Day crew. He was on yesterday and saying, yeah, this is kind of a huge thing.
No, it's not like this every week. I can probably remember the number of instances on one hand where a town or a city or a campus was this crazy about us being there. I mean, no, this is not something that we see every week, and we are, trust me when I say, we are certainly very excited that everybody out there is excited and fired up for the show, because we are as well.
Here's the problem, and this is the last thing I'll say on this for a little while. As a sports radio host trying to make decisions on what's going to get the most people to listen, I feel like we shouldn't talk about this today, because I'm pretty sure that every single Coug that might listen to our show is already in Pullman and out of range of our signal. 710, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know, the voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
All right, first thing is that the Seahawks have a bye this week. You probably know that, but they'll use it to get even healthier, hoping to see Ed Dixon and KJ Wright both back out on the field this week for practice and then in a game on Sunday. Of course, Ed Dixon was the guy they spent the most money on this offseason, the guy they targeted before DJ Fluker and J.R. Sweezy and Jaron Brown. And some of the other contributors, they wanted a big physical blocking tight end in Ed Dixon. And so he will finally take the field for them on next Sunday. Meanwhile, throughout the NFC West, Cardinals just got smoked last night by Denver. 45-10 the final at home. The Niners and Rams.
It was ugly.
Play each other in Santa Clara on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Ed Dixon, obviously, to get KJ Wright back. But like you said, he was the big acquisition. And before Will Dissly emerged, I mean, this was supposed to be the guy that was kind of that piece that could add that blocking tight end, a guy who could go out and catch passes. And quite frankly, it is more than needed to get this guy back into the lineup with the way this tight end situation has gone. And I don't know about you, Salk, but I'm going to have the shakes, man. I don't know what I'm going to do without the Seahawks this weekend. I'm not going to have any new tape to break down. What am I going to do?
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Huge college football weekend, Jake. Don't worry, you'll be okay, especially in this state. Both teams play at home. Wazoo hosts College Game Day tomorrow morning, and then Oregon later on in the afternoon. Danny Dave and Moore will be out there to do their show today from the Palouse. They'll be right in the RV lot. A win will move them up probably into the top 20 and would actually deliver on what should be a completely insane scene in Pullman. 75,000, 100,000 maybe. State of emergency declared.
So cool.
It is going to be really crazy. Meanwhile, UW will try to keep their Rose Bowl hopes alive. Gotta beat Colorado in order to do it. How can they bounce back after a truly terrible loss at Oregon that may have derailed their season?
I'm telling you what, Salk, this is going to be an incredible, incredible environment. College game day is going to be fun. But in terms of the Cougs and actually what this means on the field, this is a huge opportunity in front of the entire nation to be able to show that Cougar football is for real, that Gardner Minshew and that beautiful mustache that he has is for real. And we'll be able to see if Mario Cristobal in this Oregon program, after coming off a battle with UW, has the wherewithal to be able to come in week in and week out and be able to finish this Pac-12 schedule off. I don't know. It will be interesting to see. And it's interesting. I don't know what's going to be what is more important for the Cougs to win or for the Huskies to win this weekend. Because to me, for the Huskies, if they don't win this, and quite frankly, if they lose down the stretch, it is going to be a massive disappointment for this team with the guys that they have on this roster. Missing college playoff was already a big enough blow, but they've got to be able to finish this thing out and get to that Rose Bowl.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
One half of the World Series lineup is set. Red Sox advance to the World Series for the fourth time in 15 years after taking down the defending champion Astros in just 5 games. It's crazy. They've had 3 general managers, 3 managers, and 4 pitching coaches in those 4 trips now.
Unreal.
Fall Classic. I know. Dodgers and Brewers game 6 tonight with the Dodgers up 3-2. Yeah, so how does that happen? How do you make so much change and still continue to get there year after year? To me, the answer is pretty simple. Look, in baseball, they spend money, and that's a big reason why. But the answer is always ownership. Yeah, they spend over $200 million seemingly every single season. They're going to be right there in the top 3 or so in terms of money spent. But it's also the direction that John Henry sets for them as an owner. None of this occurred before he took over as the owner of the Red Sox. And there's a reason why they've had so much success under his regime.
Well, all week we've talked about the significance that Paul Allen has had on the Seahawks, right? And it sounds like it's a very similar thing. I mean, it's pretty cool to see the Red Sox be able to have the success that they've had in the last 15 years. I mean, Salk, from your perspective, being a Red Sox fan, I don't hear the curse of the Bambino. I mean, is that even talked about still?
Not in Boston. Only Dan Shaughnessy brings that up, I would say. He's the guy who wrote the book on it. So there you go. There's three things you need to know every morning. Man, I was rooting for Houston last night. So
yeah.
I was hoping Houston would get back. I don't know. I know really? I'm not supposed to like them because they're in the AL West with us, but I kind of enjoy watching. I love Springer. I mean, Bregman's kind of like a fun young player.
Yeah, they've got some guys that you root for.
Yeah.
There's something about
them. Altuve. How do you not root for some of those guys?
Yeah, so. Like Altuve versus Aaron Judge.
Right.
Those guys standing next to each other.
Right. Who are you going to root for?
Yeah,
this
awesome.
Giant guy from New York or this like little scrappy nobody who was told not to even show up who's turned himself into an MVP-type player. So, yeah, all right, there you go. Half the World Series is set, and we'll wait to see what happens with the Dodgers and Brewers as all of the brass for Major League Baseball roots very, very hard for Los Angeles. You can listen to the show here on the 710 Sports app. It's driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. Jake Heaps is in all morning, and we got the professor.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Song.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. The price is only going to go up.
Every morning at 7:15.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to totally break everything down.
Plus, a wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
Yeah, I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Week off for the Seahawks, so you get to hang at home, hopefully, right? Watch some football?
Yeah, I was debating whether to go to a game this weekend, and then I just was so tired coming back from London, I decided to stay. So that'll be good, give me a chance to catch up on a lot of things. Still got a lot of work to do.
What are the best games of the weekend?
I would have to say that the one I was really looking forward to was Cincinnati going to Kansas City. Then they moved that tonight, so that made it a little bit tough to try to go there. That's
right.
Going to be good. Definitely
yeah.
Like
before you get to others, Cincinnati's kind of a little surprise team this season.
They are. No question.
Yeah, they really are. I like them a lot. I think that their defensive line's really come on very well. I think they've now got a little bit more talent around Andy Dalton, so the Red Rifle's doing some good things. That should be good. Dallas, I think Washington, that'll be an interesting game.
Dallas and Washington?
Yeah.
Is Washington any good?
Average.
I mean, because sometimes I watch them and they look like complete dreck, and other times I watch them and, you know, like this past weekend, they look like a pretty good football team.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're up and down. There's no question about it. I think that they're trying to settle in with the new quarterback and Alex Smith. Their defense, I think, is consistently pretty good, but, you know, they got to get more out of the offense. I mean, Alex is only averaging like 21.2 points a game. That's not good enough.
Hey, John, the owners were together, obviously meeting, and one of the topics was discussing the viability of the Chargers in L.A. I mean, it just seems like this move to put the Chargers in L.A., two teams in L.A., it really hasn't been a good thing up to this point. You've got one team that clearly is the favorite in L.A. that's got everybody's attention, and the Chargers are almost an afterthought. What's going on with this situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can look. It's a bad situation, and it's one I guess they're trying to make the best out of a bad situation. They had to take their revenue projections from $400 million to $150 million, and then they just put out their prices for the tickets, and it's pretty bad. I mean, they can't sell PSLs. I think 26,000 tickets is going to be priced between $50 and $90. Now, right now, they're going for $199 a ticket for the Chargers in the StubHub, and of course, that's the highest in the league. But the problem is, you know, most of the fans coming in visiting for the other team are the ones buying a lot of those tickets.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, so what are they going to do?
What's that?
What are they going to do?
Right now, just try to survive, I guess, more than anything else.
What are they going to do long-term, though? Because it doesn't sound like viability in L.A. is going to work. So will they go back to San Diego? Will they look in Oakland? Will they look somewhere else? I mean, like, what happens?
Well, remember, I mean, they've had to make the commitment, and also they have to pay the moving fees to be able to do it. So I just think, I mean, at this stage, they're stuck.
Why doesn't the league just let them? Here, let's just let you out of it. We're going to let you out. You've clearly made a bad – this has got to be like a parent – like coming to their kid being like, okay, we're going to bail you out here.
It's a prodigal son situation.
We appreciate that you've made a mistake. You don't. How much was the relocation fee they had to pay?
It was a mere $650 million.
All right, we're going to give you the $650 million back.
Yeah, so they haven't started to pay it. I mean, you pay it when you make the move.
All right, so go back. Well, they did make the move, though. They're there, right?
Yeah, they are.
All right, so we're going to let you out of this. We're going to pay you back. We're going to give you $500 million of this back. I know you blew $150 million. Okay, fine. But we're going to give you $500 million back. Go back to San Diego. Diego, make this right, sell the team to somebody else, and just start over fresh in San Diego and see what you can get
done. It probably would make sense, but at this stage, that's not the plan. They're planning just to try to survive, and that's going to be the tough part. Mm. I mean, it looks great for the Rams. It looks bad for the Chargers.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I was down there for an Elite 11 event and was down in their facility, and they just transformed an office building.
Yeah, it's
sad. It's sad. But, hey, John, what's going on with Michael Kendricks? What's the deal with him? I mean, the last thing we heard was he was suspended indefinitely. Is there any clarity or any, you know, evolving situation on him?
Yeah, no clarity whatsoever. I mean, it's just indefinite. He has to wait till January to see about sentencing. I guess, you know, his biggest thing to see if he has to go to jail or not.
Hmm.
You know, because, again, it's like, you know, the uniform he would like to wear would be a Seahawk, but right now the uniform has a whole lot of numbers on it.
He's not going to jail. I don't buy that he will be in prison. I'm not buying that for a second.
You're not?
No, I don't buy. I will be shocked if he actually ends up serving prison time for what he did. For a victimless crime that he apologized for and gave the money back for, so he didn't end up profiting off of it. I can't fathom that he will end up seeing prison
not.
Time.
I like him. I mean, he's a good player. Seemed like a good person. Obviously, he made a horrible mistake
sure.
in this. But you know, but I know that if he's given the opportunity, he's definitely going to stay here. But until the league resolves it, and right now they just have him out indefinitely, and maybe that probably means probably until January.
All right, so we're into the seventh week of the football season now. Any coaches going to get fired soon?
Oh, you know, that last night was a huge one because Vance Joseph winning against Arizona kept him at least from getting fired. So I think he's now bought himself some more time. You know, you would hope you can get through the season without having coaches fired during the year. But I think the two guys, you know, Vance Joseph being one, Dirk Cutter being another, you know, they're certainly in jeopardy right now. And that's, I think, with Vance, you just got to try to see, you know, he turned a 4-game losing streak around. They just absolutely blew out the Arizona Cardinals. So at least that keeps one off.
How about Arizona? Like, what other changes? Because that was brutal to watch last night.
Well, I would have to think sometime very soon they're going to change offensive coordinators. I think Byron Leftwich will get the promotion and get the offensive coordinator job because it's just not working with Mike McCoy. It's a really bad situation.
All right, John, it's Friday. I think you know what that means. You're back from London. We're ready for a little wild card.
Time now for the wild card.
Wild card.
Mr. Professor Clayton,
yes.
It's time for Fan Fiction Friday.
Yippee-ki-yay.
John Clayton inherits his family home that's been in the family for over 200 years. But due to his addiction to collecting Beanie Babies, Clayton decides to sell the home in order to buy a one-of-a-kind Beanie Baby developed in the Swiss Alps. But when Clayton goes to collect the Beanie Baby, which is a snow leopard with the head of an elephant, he realizes that the seller, played by Woody Harrelson, has ripped him off. Watches Clayton attempts to get his money back from Woody while simultaneously trying to undo the sale of his house to Boy Howdy, who has decided to turn the old home into a daycare for owners of exotic pets. Will Clayton get it all back, or will he be left holding the, quote, beanie bag for all of his bad decisions? What do you think?
This sounds like the Charger move more than anything else, I think. It's, I'm trying to get out of it because, yeah, you're right, this is pretty bad. But the Beanie Baby stuff I'm puzzled by because, again, not being a Beanie Baby guy, but I guess it's, I'm so addicted to the Beanie Babies that I've got to try to sell everything back. And I guess I probably need somebody to help me beat down Woody Harrelson on this one.
And you're going to need help. Woody can get pretty ripped, right? I mean, like, that guy throws himself into a role, starts working out.
Who would you pick as a sidekick?
I just watched him at Han Solo on the plane going over to London. So it's like, yeah, I'm glad to see that you know, he's back for another round.
Yeah, it's a good question, Jake. John, who do you want as your sidekick for this to help?
What's that?
You want anybody to help?
I think I want DJ Fluker.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, because I think DJ will plow some people down and make sure that I can try to get this thing all right.
I can see DJ Fluker playing like an Andre the Giant role in Princess Bride. Like,
anybody
throw
want a peanut?
Exactly. That'd be a great
nailed
one.
It,
yeah, he'll be
DJ.
My Chewbacca.
All right, there you go. All right, John, goodbye. I don't think that's right. all right, we'll talk to you on Monday. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the week off.
See you, JC.
I don't think that's right.
Howdy, what in the heck did you just come up with right
there? That's a perfect plot, I think.
Yeah.
I think people would be really excited to see it.
Was it in any way? Like, it made me think of the Addams Family for whatever reason. Heather and I watched the original Addams Family movie, not the TV show, but the movie over the weekend. Dude, that movie holds up. It is still laugh out loud funny. Raul, it's like the best cast movie. Everyone in it is perfect.
Yes.
Christopher Lloyd is spot on. Raul Julia is spot on. What's her name? Is Morticia Adams. It's just, she nails it. Angelica Houston. It's like one person after another is just perfect. Dan Hedaya is the bad guy. Like, it's awesome. What a great movie. All right. Jake Heaps is in. We won't just sit here and talk about silly movies for a while. We're going to talk a lot of football. But what I want is some stories. Story time with Jake. We've done story time with Brock. There's often story time with Groz.
Yeah.
The best story times with Groz, by the way, are off the air when you get the real stories with the words and the things Groz can't say on the radio. That's when story time with Groz really shines, is how he can
I'm
tell
sure
you.
It does.
But story time with Jake is coming up next. You're not going to want to miss it. It's coming up here on Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
this is Brock and Salk.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com.
Trying to figure out who this is. Brock and Salk here, 710 ESPN Seattle. Good morning. Jake Heaps is in for Brock today as we gear up for Fun Friday. Leading into a weekend, probably more of a college football weekend locally than pro football. Who is Jim Weber on Twitter at Jim M. Weber? I don't know who this person is. I'm trying to figure it out because he's got 77,000 followers. So he's got to have some level of...
He's got to follow in some kind. Yeah, how many people does he follow?
I don't know. 5,000. So he's like got a good ratio. He's followed by some people in the media like Adam Schefter and Wazoo Football. So I don't know if he works in... Does he work in college football? I don't know who he is. He tweeted a poll a few minutes ago. Which former Washington State quarterback would you most like to see be the guest picker tomorrow on College Game Day? Mark Rippon.
Okay.
Coming in with 4% of the vote. Hmm? Drew Bledsoe, who's looking to stay in Kyle's camper, 35% of the vote.
Would seem obvious.
Ryan Leaf, up to 49%, also looking to stay in the camper.
Another good pick.
And then he adds in Sonny Sixkiller.
Wait.
Sonny Sixkiller?
The UW quarterback?
That's the one.
Oh.
So I clicked on Jim Weber's bio, curious about who he would be, and it only says one thing on it. New York, New York.
That's all you need to know.
Yep. thanks, Goat. That pretty well explains it. I don't know who he is, but New York, New York, pretty well.
He tried, Saul.
He did. My dad's that. My dad is all over that. He's like, my dad, every time I mention one of the schools around here, my dad's being in Boston, he's like, which one did Drew Bledsoe go to again? Like, that's his question every time. His only knowledge of UW or Wazoo is Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah.
So it's just like, wait, which one did Drew go to?
Yeah, he still can't figure it out.
No idea. Doesn't understand. He's been on the UW campus.
Yeah.
Still can't figure out the difference. All right. Jake is here, and I think what we need is some story time with you, Jake. Thank you, Goat. All right, it's story time. Whoa! Jake, what was your first practice as a Seahawk like?
So... There was so much build up to this because obviously being from here, growing up here, Seahawks. I mean, as a kid, that was the dream, was to be able to play in the NFL, play for the Seahawks. And when I got the call, I got it during the draft. This after the second round of the draft, second day, I got the call and was fired up and get to the facility and they bring me in the morning and sign that contract and grinning from ear to ear. I mean, it was an incredible moment. And practice was going on. Practice was about to start in 10 minutes. And I just thought, hey, well, you know, I got my physical today. I'm signing my contract. They'll probably just, you know, wait till tomorrow to kind of throw me into the group. And as soon as I signed that contract, they said, all right, well, practice is 10 minutes. You know, make sure you get down there. I'm like, what? Like, okay, all right. I'll go down there. And hanging out and just figured, hey, I'm going to sit on the sidelines. I'm going to, you know, just kind of soak it up. I don't know the playbook. I don't know anything. And they're like, all right, Heaps, get out there. and during this time, it was OTAs and everything, so you're still kind of walking through. You're not going against the defense, thank goodness. But you're just kind of running plays, and they're going through the installs. And the install that we just happened to be on that day, and Brock can verify this, is Naked Bootleg Day. And Naked Bootleg Day. Okay.
You're going naked on your first day?
Wow.
Oh, man.
That's a dream people have.
That is sometimes the longest verbiage of plays, okay, for the play call. So it could be West right, U left, fake 19, naked right, you know, Z Seattle, Y Hobo, you know, like stuff like that. And it would be like, I hadn't seen the playbook, Salk. I don't know the playbook. I don't know anything that's going on. And in all honesty, I'd been in pro-style systems, but everything I'd done from a wristband, this was the first time that I had to actually spit back out a play call.
Oh, jeez.
So I don't know anything. I've never seen the playbook. Okay. This is my first time calling plays, and I've got the assistant QB coach, Will Herringer. They call him Ball Game. Awesome guy. And he's sitting there going, all right, here we go. West right, tight, you left, fake 19 naked right, what, see Seattle Y Hobo, and saying it that fast. What? What's going on? So I'm going into the huddle, and it's classic, you know, they've seen the...
Who's in the huddle?
Sometimes it's the first group, Doug Baldwin and Justin Britt and all these guys trying to make a first impression, and this is the most stressful thing of my life. I'm just trying to get through this practice not getting cut, right? And I'm hoping that they understand that I've never seen the playbook before.
Right.
Right? Just please, like, know that I haven't seen this playbook. And literally every time. West right, look back. Hey, can you tell me the rest of the play? Okay. You left. What was the rest of the play? The entire day. The entire day, Salk. And
so sad.
And I was so nervous. And thank goodness Bevel and Pete came up to me after practice, and they were laughing because they knew the situation. And, you know, they were like, hey, man. Actually, that was an incredible first day. We've never seen anybody come in there and handle it like the way you did, and right. not knowing anything and all that stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh.
So they knew.
They knew.
Did the players know?
No. They didn't know. They're looking at, who is this guy? So I'm just sitting here going, come on. Like, you couldn't give me a day?
No.
But they just threw me right in, and you know, I promise you, I got that playbook as fast as I could. I got the install the next day, and I showed up, and I made sure that I knew everything the next day so that these guys knew I wasn't just some clown off the street who couldn't call a freaking play. It was awful.
That is really funny.
Awful.
All right, story time with Jake. Who was the first guy that talked to you in that locker room?
First guy to talk to me in that locker room. I actually think it was Russell. Russell was the first guy. We had kind of, in weird ways, had kind of had backdoor conversations with, you know, we had people that knew each other. Mm. So he came up to me, hey, Jake, great to meet you. I've heard a lot about you. And I was like, cool. Oh, okay, cool. And then I actually trained with Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, Richard Sherman, all the defensive guys. So a lot of the defensive guys I was really close with. So
you call those guys mister?
No. Okay. No. Sure. You know, and we would train together in the offseason, so they were actually super excited when I got signed. So
all right, there you go. Cool. That's story time with Jake Heaps. That's always kind of fun. Enjoy hearing the stories, and that's the old-time story time music. So there you go. UW's going to have to bounce back here. We spent a little time on the Cougs this morning, but UW coming off the loss they did, how well do you expect them to bounce back against Colorado? Colorado's not a great team.
Right.
But with Coach McIntyre, like, that's a team that'll be disciplined and will find a way to beat you.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to get up for this game. You can't just walk in there with, you know, a loss, you know, kind of have a hangover in that aspect and just expect to roll in there at home and be able to win this game. You have to, you know, regroup, and you have to have refocus and re-energize your team. And I think the maturity of this team we will really see, and we'll see how strong the senior leadership truly is. It gets talked about a lot, but this is when we'll really find it out. But I anticipate this group using that loss, and I anticipate them having one of the best practice weeks that they've ever had, using that pissed off energy to give their best effort every day, to be dialed into focus, and then also as a group, as a collective group, offensively and defensively, coaches and players say, what do we truly need to do to get better? Stare each other in the face and look in the mirror. What do we need to do to get better? And the one thing that I really want to see is they have to be able to get a pass rush. They have to be able to create some sort of pressure on the quarterback, because Justin Herbert had too much time back there. He had too much opportunities to make plays with his legs.
It's going to get even harder this week, right? I mean, you got a couple of young players.
Yes.
And not, you know, you're not even starting the guys that you thought were going to be your best heading into the season.
Correct.
So.
You can't just line up and play ball. You have to bring some unique pressure packages, and we'll see what they end up deciding to do.
Well, we'll see. It'll be at home at 12:30 on Saturday tomorrow. Colorado has... I don't know. Colorado plays teams tough. That's the one thing you know they're going to do.
Yeah, they do.
Mike McIntyre's pretty good. I think he's a good coach.
He's a good coach. I mean, what he's been able to do in Colorado and be able to get that group, and they honestly lost a lot last year.
Sure. Phillip Lindsay, as we're seeing, and they've lost all those cornerbacks over the last few years. I mean, their secondary a couple of years ago was excellent.
Yes.
And then, you add in a Sefa Lufau, and you know, they've had some pretty good players over there.
Yes.
It's not quite the same deal this year, but you know, they've won some good ones, and we'll see what they're able to do here on the road against the Huskies. All right, Coors Light's Blue 42 coming up here. We talk about running backs like Philip Lindsay, who is right now dominating the NFL as an undrafted rookie.
Fun to watch.
Is it that simple? That question and more for Jake Heaps coming up next here on Brock and Salk.
Here we go.
This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, G, U corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready? Right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42!
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Song.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
All right, let's see what we got here today for a little Coors Light's Blue 42. Brock is off. He had the ASU-Stanford game last night, and now he is off to Dallas. Who does he have at TCU? Someone's at TCU. Forget who it is. I'm not really always up on the TCU schedule. That's on me.
Yeah.
I mean, I should be more, come on, paying more attention.
You got to pay attention more to Gary Patterson.
Do I?
Phenomenal.
Taking it in Oklahoma?
Funny. He loses his voice. Like, when he gets interviewed at the end of games, he can't even talk. He's just yelling all the time up and down the side.
The Horned Frogs?
Frogs. Yeah, the Horned Frogs.
I got those purple unis. Those are pretty cool.
They're nine pretty sweet, man. They're pretty
nine
sweet.
O'clock. 9 o'clock on ABC. It's a big time
9
game.
9 a.m.?
Yeah.
All right. So there you go.
You going to wake up for that one?
No.
Question number one.
Question number one. Let's just start here. For Coors Light's Blue 42 with Jake Heaps. Jake, how important or how maybe interchangeable are running backs on this Seahawks team?
Yeah, I think you look at it, this offensive line is playing so well, and I think the hard thing, and this is going to kill you, but I would argue that Thomas Rawls and Alex Collins would be playing pretty good football right now if they had this offensive line. I think they really would. However, I think the way Chris Carson is running the football, again, we can talk about durability and what he projects to be long-term, but right now, the way he's running the football, he's a top-flight running back in this league. The way he's running the ball, the way he can move, the way he can juke, he's setting up his blocks. And the thing that is so awesome to see is it's Marshawn-esque. He gets yards after contact, and he creates. When there's a play that is getting stuffed behind the line of scrimmage, he has that fight in him to go and get those extra yards when the play is dead, when you see most running backs just cave it in. And the other thing that's been really impressive to me when I watch the tape, Mike Davis is running like a madman right now. He is exploding on the tape. He's not a guy that's just, I know people have talked about him as, he's just some guy. He's not running the football like just some guy right now. He is motivated. He's hitting the holes hard. He's making plays. So right now, between Chris Carson and Mike Davis, man, I don't think they're interchangeable right now. And when you look at Pete's offense, you look at his philosophy, and you look at the course of his career in the NFL, in college, and back now with the Seahawks, what has been one of the main staples of his success? Great running backs. And it is vital for Pete Carroll's brand of football to have great running backs.
Question number two. We're into week 7 of the NFL season. I think we've seen all of the first-round rookie quarterbacks play at least a little.
Yeah, a little.
All but one of them have started games.
Yes.
What do you think?
Honestly, I'm really encouraged by this group. I think it's a good group, and I was really encouraged by the draft coming in. There were still a lot of questions about this group. And again, you don't know how they're going to shape up long-term, but I think Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, and Josh Rosen have shown that, hey, these are guys that can be legitimate franchise quarterbacks. And I think the guy that's probably had the most success is Sam Darnold right now, just coming off an 80% day this last Sunday. And two touchdowns. He's had the most success out of everybody. Baker Mayfield has had really high highs and really low lows. So I think when you look at rookie quarterbacks, you're constantly going to see the ebb and flow with these guys, and that's what you got to understand that as a fan. You saw Josh Rosen's performance last night.
Sure did.
It's gonna be tough.
Laughed at every snap of him.
I'm sure you did. and Josh Allen, unfortunately, he just been thrown into the fire way too soon. Way too soon than you would like to see with the Buffalo Bills and where they're at. And Lamar Jackson, he's getting thrown in there, getting some playing time, showing that he's the dynamic playmaker with his legs, and it'll be interesting to see how he
develops. Do you like what they're doing with him?
I do. I think it's the best way to get him involved. Now, for Joe Flacco, it's a tough situation because you have to perform week in and week out or you're going to lose your job.
All right, question number three. All right, speaking of quarterbacks, if you were scouting quarterbacks today, first at the college level and then at the pro level, so maybe it's a two-part answer.
Yeah.
What are you looking for, most importantly?
Well, I think when you're going to college, you're looking for prospects. That's really what it comes down to, is who can develop long-term and be a prospect, and do they have special qualities that fit my program, that fit the dynamic. Now, when you get to the NFL, yes, all the size and the prototypical things, arm strength and footwork and athleticism, all those things matter. But what matters most is the intangibles. That's what matters most. And one of the things you want to see is a thing called pace. Plays after critical errors. How do they respond after making a big mistake? Do they have the wherewithal to be able to bounce back?
How's Josh Rosen at that?
I think he's good with
really?
That. Yeah, I do.
That goes against everything I've ever heard about him.
He doesn't, in this game, he didn't do well, but I guarantee you it's going to motivate him to come back stronger. Now, within the course of a game, he didn't show that. And like you said, I don't think he's great at that in the course of a game, but I think from week to week, looking big picture, I think it'll make him better. The other thing is, are they a leader by circumstance, or do they elevate the room? And another way to describe that is, are they thermometer leaders or thermostat leaders? When you're a thermometer leader, you are affected by everything around you. So if it's 70 degrees, man, that thermometer is going to say 70 degrees. If it's cold, it's cold. But if you're a thermostat leader, when you turn the thing to 70, it's at 70 degrees when you walk into the room. And that's what you got to look for. And that, I think that's why Baker Mayfield was the first pick overall. You heard the Browns organization talk about Baker Mayfield just changes the room. And, you know, he's a perfect example of a thermostat leader. And finally, are they comfortable in their own skin? Because this, the life of a quarterback, an NFL franchise quarterback, is as hard as it gets, man. Yes, they get big money, they get big praise, but man, they are, you know, constantly nitpicked and criticized. You look at Russell Wilson, not only on the field, but in their personal life and all those things. And you gotta be comfortable in your own skin, man. To be able to survive in this thing and to be successful and have longevity, you got to be truly comfortable with who you are.
That is today's Coors Light's Blue 42, ably handled by the great Jake Heaps, who is in for Brock today. We've heard stories. We've heard some analysis there. I never heard that, thermostat versus thermometer leader. That's an interesting one.
It's a famous Trent Dilfer deal.
Oh, really? I've heard John Schneider talk about the need to change the temperature, you know, to change the complexion of the room when you walk in.
Yeah.
And obviously Russell does that. I mean, when that was one of the things that caused John to want to draft him. I mean, he changes the way people act around him, and he's definitely you put him at a temperature, and that's definitely where Russell's at. All right, we're gonna do some rapid fire. In order to do so, I'm gonna try to open up the phone line. So what we've done here in the past, I got 8 questions. Jake and I will answer them, but you can answer them as well.
Oh,
we are not going to tell you the questions ahead of time. So you wait on hold, and then when the question comes, you just have to like be ready. It's like a pop quiz. Wait,
but every time we get a caller, they're, hey, am I on? Wait,
they're going to be ready. All they've got to do is answer the question that's asked. So if you want to participate in some of our rapid fire, 206-421-3776 is the number.
Hope you're ready.
And we'll be doing open phone lines an hour from now at 9 o'clock. Jake Heaps is in. Hope you're having a good morning. It is Brock and Salk.